Thank you so much for, you know, taking the time out of your day to be interviewed. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. Just got done with my sustainability by design class, and one student showed up in person. So that was fun. I'm getting back in the swing of a tiny taste of in-person education. But yeah, really enjoying the classes and doing all right. How about you today?
I'm doing great. What are your thoughts on experiential learning and how it can improve scientific literacy?
Yeah, so well, experiential learning can mean a lot of different things. In the classes I teach up at RPI in the STS department, which stands for Science and Technology Studies, I used to have a component called service learning, and I did start using exactly the language you just used, experiential learning instead, because I think it turns out sometimes, you know, like students that are trying to be of service to the broader community, it ends up being kind of the other way around, where community groups have to invest a lot in that experience, and the students getting a whole lot of that, and maybe not always giving back too much. But that's kind of a whole other maybe conversation that we could have some other time. In terms of experiential learning and scientific literacy, that it's a really interesting question. I think right off the bat, experiential learning kind of breaks down the walls that can be pretty thick sometimes between the classroom and the broader world. And so you know, it's no longer a question of like, how is any of this relevant in the broader world? Because you're in that broader world. And you're collaborating with hopefully a variety of people. And so that kind of like, how does any of this apply to the concerns in a community? How do theory and practice fit together? Those are kind of like the everyday questions that I think are always part of experiential learning. So there's a lot of merits for experiential learning anyway, but then how it connects to scientific literacy, I guess I think it probably helps connect to not just learning the content of science, like the stuff you might be able to pick up by like sitting down and reading a textbook, but actually learning a little bit more about like the process of science, which is kind of oddly often left out of kind of standard science education. So with projects like Nature Lab and these other amazing community science centers, people are getting hands-on experience with data collection, with doing analysis of that data, with expressing the knowledge that is produced through all of those processes. And I think also scientific literacy really connects to other kinds of literacy. So, this kind of scientific literacy that's not only about the content of science, but about the processes of knowledge production and how science fits into other structures like society and the economy and politics. I think that requires a certain kind of media literacy too, right? Because, like, even a scientific article is a form of media with particular like genre conventions that I think it's important for us to learn how to read those and to understand like, well, where did the funding come from? What are the interests that this author is bringing to this work? So, you know, it might be obvious that it's important to have media literacy around, say, like advertising because somebody's trying to sell you something and maybe it's greenwashed and it's not really all that sustainable. But I think it's also useful to bring that to documentaries and, like I said, to scientific publications. So, I mean, there's just a million ways that they fit together. And I think there's just so much value in experiential learning and then connecting scientific literacy to other kinds of literacy as well.
Yeah, definitely. How do you think community science centers, like, how do you think they can benefit the community?
Well, I think that community science centers, I mean, for one thing, they are public spaces. And so even if they had nothing to do with science, we just need more community centers. You know, places like public libraries, public parks, and like even like bike paths and places like that. I think I would just wish that there were more of those. And then specifically community science centers, I mean, I think one thing that often happens in community science centers is people share perspectives and help help each other to understand the shared environment better. So, you know, there's all kinds of science, right? I think it's important to pluralize this concept of science and the practices of science, but I'm especially interested in the environmental sciences. And so helping people connect in maybe ways that they had not before to the water in their community, to the soil in their community, to the air in their community, that's all really important. But besides the connections that people might build with their environment and the more than human world, there's also just really important human connections that can be formed. So new relationships. So similar to like, you know, I also have a lot of respect for like the Troy Bike Rescue. And part of that is from a sustainability angle, it's wonderful to keep bikes from going straight to the waste stream when with a little bit of love, they can be brought back to life. But I think what's maybe even more important is all the new relationships and connections that are formed in there. Like thousands of people over a whole bunch of years connect over those bicycles. And so I think there's a similar kind of promise to community science centers where relationships that might not otherwise be formed or deepened have a chance to.
Yeah, especially since community and collaboration are sort of the backbone of humanity and human society.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yes. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the relationship between scientific literacy and self-advocacy in regards to health and environmental safety and well-being?
That's a big question. So scientific literacy, self-advocacy, health, and safety and well-being. Okay. Well, for one thing, I think in terms of self-advocacy, that makes me think of this concept of direct action that I really like. And kind of in a pretty simple definition, kind of like doing stuff without relying on other people to have to do something for you. But often that's really difficult, right? To do stuff alone. Like we need collaborators in the mix, but not relying on structures that often don't have your back. Or that you might like wish to tear down or completely reconfigure. So I like what you're saying about kind of self-advocacy. And it also makes me think of like the DIY movement, right? And with DIY, it's never actually do it yourself. Like it's a movement, it's a community. So, you know, whether it's a bike rescue or a community science center, there's kind of a DIY aesthetic that's like, let's just go out and do the thing ourselves. But it's always ourselves, right? It's never yourself as like an isolated kind of separate individual. So I think direct action and direct collective action is always really important. And then kind of connecting that to scientific literacy as you're doing in that really interesting question, the phrase knowledge is power comes to mind. And I think often that phrase is heard as, like, if you just go to school and pay attention and get a whole lot of knowledge, that'll make you powerful. And that's, you know, there's obviously some truth to that. Education is really important and knowledge can help us do stuff. But if we kind of flip the arrow and say, how can building power actually shape knowledge, right? So like those that have a lot of power can do a lot to shape what counts as knowledge and what does not count as knowledge. And community science centers, I think, have a really interesting role to play in that because they can help people build a collective voice and power to build their own knowledge, but maybe even sometimes to shape what counts as knowledge. And this is really important because there's a lot of other forces in the mix trying to shape what counts as knowledge in a way that would discount what communities have to say. Right, and say, well, like, no, actually, you have to be an executive at an oil company to have anything to say about oil. And like, we know that that's not true. But concepts like sound science were basically invented by PR firms to be able to say, well, that's not sound science, and this is. And so these are all like really political, important questions of who gets to count as a knowledge producer. And so, yeah, there's a lot of really interesting ways that knowledge and power kind of all swirl around. And like I was saying earlier about the potential to learn not just the content of science, but how it's produced, learn more about the variety of scientific methods that we can use, and also how science connects to society and to politics and to health and well-being. That's all really important. And I think my last point, so one other way to connect scientific literacy to advocacy around health and the environment would be to focus on that environmental health part of the question, because I think when we start looking at environmental health, there are often shared solutions by like getting together and taking care of the air, for example, we improve our individual health. And I think when we talk about health outside of the context of environmental health, it can be like really hyper individualized. Like I'm gonna go have this one-on-one session with this doctor and usually I'm gonna leave with a prescription. So this artist, Natalie Jeremijenko, has this interesting approach where she opened up an environmental health clinic and people would come and talk about their health issues and she would write them a prescription to be like, go learn about the air quality in your neighborhood. Like go talk to your elected official about the buses that are idling outside of your home. And so these kinds of shared drivers of health conditions can pull us together and help us see that we do have a shared fate. And we have, like not everybody has the same environment by any means. Like environmental justice is a huge part of the conversation, but there is kind of an environment that can pull us together and help us work together rather than just seeing my health condition as totally separate from your health condition.